As a 28-year-old, like sometimes, like yes, I make my money and like I try to save, but I really generally feel like I'm lacking the basics of like, what do I do with this? And it all feels overwhelming. And then I go to talks and I hear about, you know, 18-year-olds investing. I'm like, shit, am I too old? Like, is it like, how do I even start? How long would I wait? Like, is it maybe better not to do any online investing, but just try to save for a deposit? And it's all a bit overwhelming and I just don't really know where to start. You know, the books like Something for Dummies, like Maths for Dummies, This for Dummies, like Investments for Dummies, something like this.
Hello, I'm Emily Bellet, founder of Vestpod and author of You're Not Broke, You're Pre-Rich, and you're listening to The Wallet. Every week we give you the best tips, guidance, and a good dose of inspiration and motivation to manage your money better. Today we're answering a question from one of our Money Matters Festival attendees who wanted more information about the basics of investing. Over the next 40 minutes, I'm going to walk you through everything you need to know to make your first investment, from which platforms to use to investment frequency. You're about to hear a recording from our latest webinar on the topic. If you want to attend more webinars like this, sign up to our newsletter via the link in this episode's description.
Remember that we are not certified financial advisors. Information shared in this podcast is for educational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice.
PensionBee is on a mission to help pension savers across the UK. Each month, their Pension Confident podcast helps listeners understand the world of personal finance, exploring pensions, ISAs, mortgages, and more. Host Philippa Lamb is joined by a panel of expert guests who answer questions from can you afford to have kids? To should you invest in a pension or an ISA? The Pension Confident podcast is available right now wherever you get your podcasts. Just remember that anything discussed should not be regarded as financial advice, and when investing, your capital is at risk. The goal of these very short sessions is to give you the confidence, it's to give you the tips to get started. I want this to be really, really practical. So if you've done our previous workshops and boot camps, we do a lot about why do we invest, when do we invest, the mindset. But today is really getting you started in 10 steps. So by the end of the session, you should be able to make your first investment. First of all, I wanted to start with just the scary statistics and tell you, you know, why, what's everything I do, we do behind Vestpod. And it's really to help women get more money, transfer more money in the hands of women. There's a statistic by Scottish Widows that says the average 25-year-old woman is on track to retire with £100,000 less than a man. So this is really scary. And why does that happen? You know, there's the gender pay gap. Women are still paid less than men. And then it's about the journeys. It's about what we do with our investments and what we do with our money. So how do we get started? I'm not here to give you any financial advice. I don't know you personally. I don't know your personal circumstances. I'm not here to give you fund recommendations, but I'm going to try to give you as many names of platforms, of apps that you could use for your investing. I've worked with some of them, not all of them. I haven't tested all of them, but I can tell you how to recognize sort of a valid platform and how you could get started. So I've built this presentation slightly differently this time, and I will give you like sort of a 10 steps. So it's really like step by step, how do you do it? How do you invest? And by the end of the session, you should be able to make your first investment. If we just go quickly over why do people invest, and we could spend a lot of time on that, but if you're here, it's probably that you know why investing is useful. For me, ABC of investing: achieve your goals. With saving alone, it's not going to be enough to achieve your goals because there's inflation in the economy and you want your money to keep up with, you know, the growth of the economy. And to be able to do that, you can't just leave your money on a saving account that's paying you 1-2%, but you're looking for higher return on your investment. You're looking for your money to work a little bit harder for you. And we do that with investing. We do that with investing in property, in the stock market, in a lot of different things. And you want your money to work for you and to grow over time. So this will help you achieve your goals. It's also to beat inflation. I just mentioned it, but you know, when there's 4%, but we had inflation above 10% in the UK. So when everything is getting more expensive, but your money is sitting there in cash, in a saving account, paying you 1-2%, you're losing purchasing power over time. So that's why it's important we grow our money and catch up and beat inflation. And finally, the last thing is compound growth. Compound growth will work with anything that gets any interest. And I will show you an example. But basically, with your investments, when you're getting paid from these companies, maybe you're getting some income, you're getting some dividends, you're getting some growth, you're able to reinvest these proceeds and then you make money on the money you invested plus the money you're making on your investments. So we call it sort of a snowball effect where, you know, even if you start with really small amounts of money, actually the more you invest, the more money you make, and this money is also reinvested, and step by step you start building a bigger pot of money. So with investing, what I find sometimes frustrating is we want a very quick results. We want to invest today. We want to make money tomorrow or in 1 month. But actually with investing, it's slightly different, especially if you're a long-term investor. You have to wait sometimes 10 years, 15 years to see your returns. So it feels a lot of hard work for a lot of years until you actually see the impact. But once you know, invested from about 10 years, you see that there's a real impact on your money. You see your portfolio growing, you see your wealth growing, and that's going to help you to put more money at work. So the early years are difficult, especially you have to control your emotions, you have to understand how to invest, the strategies, not to change your investment portfolio too often, but it's really keeping an eye on the long term. Just to give you an example to illustrate this power of compounding and the importance of time when you invest, I have two individuals here, Emily and Olivia. So Emily, it's me, I'm the first investor. Let's say it's just an example. You can run your own numbers with what we call a compound interest calculator. You can find them online. It's quite a simple calculation. But imagine that I'm Emily, I'm a good saver. I'm saving £400 a month for 40 years. So in total, I've deposited on a saving account £192,000. So that's £400 per month times 12 times 40 years. That gives me about £200,000. This is all on my, you know, saving account with my bank. Let's say it's with HSBC or Barclays or whatever. And I'm getting a 2% interest. In 40 years, the value of my investment is going to grow to £293,000. So of course, I've made money, absolutely, but, you know, probably not enough for, you know, to retire because my portfolio hasn't grown so much. Now let's look at Olivia. Olivia is not only a great saver, but she's also thinking about investing her money. So she puts the same amount away, £400 a month for 40 years. She puts away £192,000. You can see here that the deposits are the same in both cases. But now we're assuming different interest. Here, I'm assuming she puts money in the stock market and she gets a 7% return. If you look historically, the stock market has been performing between 7 to 10%. So basically, her money is growing a lot faster than just saving money in a saving account. And by the end of the journey, after 40 years, she gets a pot of 1 million. So when we think about pensions, if you just save money, you know, that's your money is not going to grow enough. And that's why we're thinking about investing and growing our wealth and see how we can make more money from our investments. So this is quite telling. And this is works because I'm getting a higher rate of investment because I have, in this case, a diversified portfolio. So it's not like I'm picking one stock and I'm getting very lucky. And it's also that I'm investing for the long term. For 40 years, I'm reinvesting my proceeds. I leave my money there and I'm not taking it out. So that's just a good example for retirement and how you can build a pot over the long term. So when do you invest? When are you ready? The first thing is having what we call an emergency fund. So having some money on the side in case something happens to you. When you invest money in the stock market, your money is going to be locked away. And that means that if you want your money back, you have to sell your investments. You have to sell your shares. You have to sell your funds and you have to get the money back. But what if tomorrow there's a big crash in the stock market? There's a financial crisis. I mean, I worked for Lehman Brothers in 2008. That was the beginning of the financial crisis. You would have seen the market completely dropped. You panic, you sell your investments, and maybe you don't even recover the amount of money you initially put in your portfolio. And also, if you have an emergency, wow, you know, you basically lost money on your investment. So having separate savings and investing is important. You save for the short to the medium term, and you invest for the long term. And having an emergency fund is 3 to 6 months of living expenses that you leave on a saving account in case something happens to you. You can start investing at the same time if you wish to, but have these savings on the side in case something happens to you, you need to pay for it and you don't have enough money from your income, you lose your job, or for whatever reason, have a little bit of savings. It's important to talk about high interest debt if you're thinking about investing, but let's say you have overdrafts or payday loans or credit card debt that is still like spiraling and snowballing. It's important to really tackle this first, because if you pay 20% on a credit card, you know, that's going to be really hard to get this type of return in the stock market. So think about clearing these debts first. They cost you money also on your budget. So sometimes they're not allowing you to invest because the money is used to pay interest on these debts. And finally, start with a clear investment goals. Know why you invest. We don't usually invest to just make more money, but for me, it's investing, you know, in the short term, in the long term, because I want to be able to retire and at, you know, what age. And I'm going to send you a link to use a retirement calculator to try to understand how much money should I be putting away if I want to retire on this level of income at this age. So really thinking about what are your goals. If you want to pay for your next holiday, you're probably not going to invest this money, because what if the markets, you know, go down and you lose all your money? So let's start our 10 easy steps to begin investing. Remember that if you have a pension, if you have a workplace pension, you're already an investor. So the very first thing with investing, these platforms that work really well are called the robo-advisors. They're not really robots, but they're not advisors either. They're very easy and simple ways to start investing online. They will automate your investments, which is great, and they will also narrow the range of investments options. Usually, they will invest in a selection of different funds, of different passive funds, and you have very little interaction, very little things to do when you invest, because these platforms do the work for you. I will talk about other ways to invest, but through the robo advisors, I will take you through how you do it with the robo. And then if you want to do it on another platform, this is how you can do it. The robo advisors will also allow you to start with a very small amount of money. When we think investors used to be for very wealthy investors, but now you can literally invest your spare change. With some of the robo advisors, you can start with probably £50 a month or £100 a month. So this is a very easy way for everyone to get started on this like investing track without necessarily having, you know, the full knowledge or having, you know, to know about how to pick investments. Now, what you have to know is that robo-advisors don't know you personally. They will offer you like a standardized solution for investing that will be the same for all of us, but they will offer us a selection of portfolio, and some will be okay for me, others will be okay for some of you. And what's going to be interesting is that all of us can sort of find a solution that will help us grow our wealth and get investing very, very quickly. So how do you choose a robo-advisor? You can do a very easy search. Robo advisors in the UK, best buys. And you can find information from a website called Borrowing Money, for example. You can find, you know, a lot of websites that are ranking the different robo advisors and telling you, you know, how much money should I invest with them? What is the minimum amount I invest? Of course, you know, they should all have a tick box saying that they're regulated. They're regulated by the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority. And they offer investment products that are protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. This is really important. So these two things I've put here, FCA, FSCS, you need to have these two stamps on your robo-advisors. That means, okay, they're regulated. And that means my savings, my investments are protected up to £85,000. So if the robo-advisor goes bust for whatever reason, maybe they're backed by a venture capital fund, they're growing, if they go bust, your money is protected, is ring-fenced from the operations. So then you can keep investing, or your portfolio will be moved to another platform. I would say don't spend too much time choosing one, because you know, a lot can be satisfying for you. They can, you know, validate your sort of investment strategy. But later on, you can also move your money from one platform to another. I often say you're not married to your investment platform. You may think it's a really big choice. But for me, you know, these platforms are great. They work. They work with an algorithm that decides of the investments. Of course, they have investment managers working for these platforms. But basically, you should be in good hands when you use these platforms. And because they tend to all invest more or less in the same way, in the same type of funds, and they should be very transparent about how they invest your money. You know, it's more about, okay, I'm going to get started. I go with one platform. And then if I want to change a platform in a few years' time because I'm not happy, probably I can do that. I can do that later. But I know we can spend so much time, you know, doing our research and being very diligent to choose a platform. And that becomes a big barrier. So what I would say is, you know, pick a platform, go for it, look at the minimum investment, see if that works for you. And then you can always, you know, change your mind and change your investments and stuff like that. It's important to think about taxes. And I see some of you in the chat box telling me, yeah, I invest through a stocks and share ISA, or I have a workplace pensions. It's important to know that the government, and here I'm talking about the UK, but that's going to be the same in a lot of places. The government is trying to encourage saving and investing for the long term. They don't want you to run out of money. So how do they do that? They offer you some products that will help you minimize your taxes. So pensions and retirement plan are usually quite tax efficient. So that means you're getting the tax back on your pension, but it's also that your investments will grow free of tax. Usually when you make money on anything in life, you have to pay taxes. But when you invest through a pension, when you invest through a stocks and share ISA, and there's other types of ISA like the lifetime ISA, the junior ISA, your money can grow free of tax, which is amazing. Because if let's say I buy a stock or I buy a fund and I make a lot of money with this, I can sell my investment and I'm not going to pay taxes because the money is within these umbrellas. So really, when you go on these platforms, you can choose the product you want. So you've chosen the platform and you need to choose the product. Do I want a stocks and share ISA? Do I want a pension? And you can look at the different allowances. So you may already have a workplace pension. You can also have a private personal pension called a SIP if you wanted to. And on ISA, you have a rule of £20,000 that you can invest in an ISA. But you can spread your money and use the different vehicles before you use something called like a general investment account where your profits will be taxable and where you have to declare that in your self-assessment tax return. So stay up to date on these rules. They don't change very often. Once you understand what's an ISA, what's a pension, or you can also ask for an advisor, you know, for a very quick tip. There's a lot of resources on that, even on Vestpod, but make sure your investment is tax efficient. So looking at the robos, comparing the robos, thinking about taxes, thinking about what product will I open. Like, for example, if I'm saving for retirement, it's probably better to have a pension or a SIP. If I'm thinking about slightly more short to medium term, so I want to, you know, achieve a goal in the next 15 years, I want to have more flexibility about my money. I want to be able to take my money out. So with a pension, you can't really do that. But if you have a stocks and share ISA, you can always sell your investments and you can take your money out. So you can have different products in place with these robo-advisors that will help you achieve different goals. You will be asked to do a very short risk assessment. So that can sound really scary. It's actually just to understand, you know, how much money do you want to invest? How much money do you have in your savings? And with this risk assessment questionnaire, they will try to understand what is your risk tolerance? And we're going to talk about risk. And what are your investment objectives? What are you investing for? They just want to make sure you're not investing for, again, what I was saying, your next holiday or maybe paying your, you know, wedding next year. But you're really thinking about the long term, and they make sure you have money today and that you can allow to have a pocket for investing. Based on your responses, and sometimes they will ask you about, you know, what do you want to invest in? Do you want to have like a sustainable angle with your investments? These robo advisors will come up with like a suitable investment portfolio allocation. Because what we want to do is connect our goals. You know, my goal is, oh, I want to retire in the south of France when I'm 70, take care of my children, have enough money to be able to travel. This is how much money I want, to something very practical, which is, okay, how do I translate that into a portfolio, into my basket? What do I buy with my money? Do I buy funds? Do I buy stocks? Do I buy bonds? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But these robo-advisors, they will create this selection for you. For some of you who already are investing and who already have a pension, for example, that would be a great place to start looking into. If you have a workplace pension, can you go find your login details and try to see how is my money invested? You know, your money is going to be invested in a selection of different funds. What are these funds? Are they, you know, the whole of the UK market? Are they US market? Are you still covering like tech funds? How much are you paying for these? So really, that's a good way, even if you don't understand everything that's in your portfolio, to start pulling out information and to do your research. So this risk assessment is not done by a financial advisor with the robo-advisor. It's done by an algorithm. And again, that will build, you know, your first portfolio for you. So when we talk about risk, I know it can be quite scary. Because when you think about investing, sometimes you think about, oh, I'm going to lose all my money. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. Who can I trust? I think people have lost a lot of trust in the financial institutions, maybe post, you know, the financial crisis. And I think the role of Vestpod is also to rebuild this confidence and be, you know, the middle part between, you know, what do we do with our money to actually, I need to trust the financial institution. I need to trust the platform because I'm not going to be able to grow my money on my own. I can't leave my money under my mattress. I need to go out there and seek for higher return for my investments. So there can be a lot of work to be done around risk and around investing. I think the best thing is actually to get started with a little bit of money, the money you can afford to lose. But it's really trying to see risk as an opportunity. And I often hear that, you know, women are risk averse, that we don't like to take risk. It's not true. If I show you how risk works and how risk reward works, we are risk aware. So what you have to know with your investments is that there's a relationship between risk and reward. And usually the higher the reward, so higher the return you want on your investments, you usually have to take more risk. And then if you want, you know, to have a more, you know, sort of secure return on your investment, you have to take less risk. When I put money on my saving account, it's not very risky. If I go with one of the big banks, my money is protected under the FSCS. I'm getting this 1-2% return. It's a low return, but it's also low risk. Now, when I put money in the stock market and I start investing in stocks, I'm taking a lot more risk, but I'm also hoping to get paid for that. So I'm hoping to get a higher return. So I would really, you know, encourage you to rethink this notion of risk, call it like an opportunity. But of course, by taking a lot more risk with your investment, you could also expect a higher return. And when we look at, you know, the risk, if we look at cash, cash is not very risky in the short term, and it doesn't pay me a very high return. But if you keep cash for too long, cash is actually really risky because when there's inflation, the value of cash depreciates over time. But we don't really realize that because we tend to think about the short term. Then when you look at taking a little bit more risk, when you move on from cash, we can look at bonds and then we can look at equities. And we're going to look at that and try to see the relationship between what I put in my portfolio versus the risk I want to take. So really important to, once you do your risk assessment questionnaire, to also reframe your risk and reframe risk as an opportunity. Then you need to fund your account. So this, there's a step that I didn't put here, but it's of course looking at budgeting and how much money I can afford to lock away every month. You may already be putting money into your pension via work, so you're already investing for, you know, your long term. But what about probably having like a stocks and share ISA or something that are, you know, less you know, long term, and the money I could, you know, I could take for, you know, 15 years or so. So it's really thinking about, okay, shorter term, what can I do with my investments and where can I put my money? When you put money into your account, you can link your bank account and you can decide that you do like a one-off transaction. So you just want to invest £100, £1,000, £5,000, whatever it is. This is called lump sum investing. Or you decide to do a weekly or monthly investment. And this, there's a strategy called pound cost averaging that spreads your investments over time by making regular and smaller contribution. And I just wanted to explain this concept because that's going to be quite important. So with pound cost averaging, you see, this is like the stock price of a share. So let's say the stock price was £10, it's going up to £15, then it's going down. And when you use pound cost averaging, what happens is if you do like a monthly regular investment of £100, and this is going to be in a rising market, so when the price is going up, you see, when I invest 100 pounds, let's say it's, you know, the share price was 100p, here I can get 100 shares. But when the stock price goes up and I put the same amount of money, I can buy less shares or less units in a fund. So actually, when the market goes up, I'm in a good mood because I see the value of my investments going up. But actually, when I need to invest more, that costs me more money. Now, what happens is in a falling market, so when the prices are going down, you're able to buy more shares or more units with the same amount of money. So this is always difficult when you see the market falling. You more likely want to sell your investments because you're panicking. But probably what you should be doing, if the fundamentals are still quite strong on your investment, is you probably want to buy more. So to help you sort of remove these like behaviors and belief and biases we can have sometimes, is to invest regularly. So instead of just putting a lump sum whenever you have the money, it's more having the discipline to say, okay, every month I'm going to put a little bit of money away, and with this money, I'm going to buy some investments. So sometimes I'm going to buy at the top of the market and only get like 20 shares. And sometimes I'm going to buy at the bottom of the market where I can buy 100 shares. And that will help you to average in your investment in the market. So when you use these platforms, what you can do is have a regular investment in place, and you can decide to buy the same portfolio every month, and that will help your investment returns over time. It's always good to be invested quite early. So if you have a lump sum, you may think, oh, you know, I need to invest it today. You can do that, but also it's thinking about, okay, what if there's a big crash tomorrow? And maybe I can spread my money over the next few months instead of, you know, putting all the money I inherited, for example, or the bonus I got this year. I wanted us to sort of zoom out a little bit, because when you look at you know, the different stocks, or when you look at the markets, sometimes you see they're in the red, they're in the green. It can change from one day to another. Markets are volatile. But now if I zoom back and I'm looking at 100 years of the stock market, I'm just looking at the S&P 500, which is a good indicator of the US, you know, US stock market performance. This represents the stock prices of the 500 biggest companies in the United States. So here you see there's different colors, and you see in pink what is a bear market. So when you see a little drop, that means, you know, this is a bear market. So you can see here, we're talking about 2008. You know, you could see the market coming down here for a few years. And then you have a period of recovery of the market. And then you see a bull market. We're actually in the bull market today, where the stock prices have been going up. It's really important to have this big picture, because sometimes you can end up in these like pink and yellow phases of, like, you know, bear market and recoveries, where you think, like, wow, you know, the market has been coming down, I don't know what to do with my investments. But it's really important to, again, think about the long term and think about the growth of your investments and what you could get over a much longer period of time. Now, let's look at the fees. Investing is never for free. You have to pay something to your platform. Usually, the more money you invest, the smaller the percentage is going to be. So the annual fees are a percentage of the amount of money you invest in the platform. So when you do the comparison of your platform, it's also important not to pay too much to the platform, even if these look like small numbers. What I would say is below 1% is good, around 1% is good. But you may see some advisors who are going to be investing your money for you. Maybe they're great advisors and they're giving you a lot of advice, but sometimes they may be charging you like 3% of your investments. So it's really thinking about the money I pay in fees. They also snowball, you know, because all this money is money that's not anymore in my portfolio, that I pay to a platform, that I pay to someone. So this will really erode your investment returns. Think about the fees. Investing is never free. And how do we reduce the fees? By using a robo-advisor. Robo-advisors tend to be more expensive than do-it-yourself. But with robo-advisors, because they take a lot of money from a lot of investors, they pull it together and they invest in a portfolio, that then tends to be cheaper than you every month trying to go and buy your investments. Just to give you an example, if I want to buy a stock today, I will have to pay £15 just to be able to buy the stock. Then I will have to pay my platform to maintain my portfolio. So that can be quite expensive. So if you're coming up with just £50 a month. So a little bit of money using this platform will actually be quite efficient in terms of cost and will allow you to trade more often because you're going into the market monthly, but not having to pick your investments every month. Then investment preferences. So when you choose a platform and when you start choosing funds, you can align your portfolio with personal values. And a few things that some of you may be interested in is ethical investing. How do we focus on avoiding in sectors like gambling, like tobacco, for example? Do you want to be an ESG investor? So invest in environmental, social, and governance. And you have also the logo of, you know, SSRI, socially responsible investing, that focuses on best-in-class investments. So what I would say, if this is important for you, all the robo advisors are usually offering like a sustainable portfolio. So it's not going to be perfect. There's a lot of greenwashing in the space where you will discover that some of the portfolios don't exactly match your own definition of what is ethical and what is sustainable. But that's a good step. And I think the industry is going into this direction of trying to support companies that are sustainable. And it's also by still investing in companies that are not ethical and not sustainable, being a shareholder gives you the right to vote, even if you do that via funds, and the right to change how these companies are run over time. So for me, something that I look for, I love to invest in companies that are run by women. I love to see, you know, what are their policies in these companies. So you can also manage this within your investment portfolio. When you invest with a robo-advisor, the types of funds you can invest in, these are going to be chosen by the platform. So it's not like you can say, oh, I don't like this fund out of all of these and I want to change my portfolio. You are usually offered the selection of four different portfolios and you can pick one of these portfolios. If you want then to invest yourself and change these portfolios, you can do that, but that's going to be more with a DIY investment platform. Now, portfolio construction. You may remember that I talked about cash, stocks, bonds. When you build a portfolio, what is a portfolio? Your portfolio is like a basket of funds. When you go onto this platform, these are three examples of portfolios. If you did your risk assessment questionnaire and they find out you're quite conservative with your investments, they will put a majority of cash and bonds in your portfolio. Now, if they think that you're a gross investor, you want to leave your money away, you know, invested for a long time, you have quite a lot of time until retirement, you tend to be more of a gross investor and you will have more stocks in your portfolio. So if you have a pension, I would invite you to go and check what we call your asset allocation. Where is your money invested? Is your money kept in cash? Is your money in bonds or is your money in stocks? If I'm getting close to retirement, I want to have more certainty over my portfolio and I want more bonds in my portfolio. But now if I'm quite young and I have a lot of time until I retire, I have 20 years, I will want to take a little bit more risk. So all these asset classes will move differently depending on the economy, on what's happening. So that's important to have a balanced portfolio where you will have a mix of different assets in your portfolio. And just to give you a little bit more detail on this, so let's start with what's quite easy. Cash. So cash, you know what cash is. Sometimes people hold cash in their portfolios because they think that, you know, they will be able to buy more investments with this. So short term, they may hold a little bit of cash, or because they think cash is quite safe for the short term. Property is one of the main traditional asset classes. You may have invested in property directly, but you can also invest in property via the stock market and via different funds. You can invest in bonds, and bonds are loans. Bonds are loans to companies, they are loans to government, and usually when you invest via bonds, you lend money away for a certain amount of time, and in return, you get some interest called a coupon. So usually if you invest in like very safe government or companies, you will get your money back and you know more or less how much money you're going to get, even if bonds are subject to inflation. And then the last category is the fourth traditional asset class is stocks and equity. And here, you know, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, Apple, you know, all these companies, you're able to invest directly in these stocks or invest in these stocks via funds. And we're going to come to funds now, because you may remember my story of working for Lehman Brothers in 2008. The company went bankrupt. So that means the stock of Lehman Brothers went to zero. Now, it's, you know, how do you make sure that doesn't happen to your portfolio? When I started investing, I built a portfolio of maybe 5 different stocks. If one of these stocks goes down, I'm losing like 20% of my portfolio. So a nice way to invest instead of looking at individual assets is more, you know, what are funds and how do I diversify my investment? Just one example is the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the collection of, you know, the 500 biggest companies in the United States. And by investing in the S&P, that gives you access to the performance of these 500 different companies. And you get exposure to these 500 companies. So instead of you buying single stocks, what you do with the robo-advisors, what you can do with your platforms is actually invest in funds that will give you a much more diversified view and more, much more diversified return for your portfolio. And when we look at the last step, it's something we discussed before, is how do I put all these investments, you know, in a wrapper that's tax efficient? We talked about pension, retirement products, long-term savings like ISA. So it's really going from, okay, what do I want in my portfolio? What's the breakdown of stocks versus bond versus cash? Finding this allocation via funds and wrapping everything in your tax wrapper to make sure you don't pay as many fees. It's really important to diversify your investments. I just talked about that. This is like the stocks you can pull for, you know, one company. This is from Apple. Actually, they have an app called Stocks where you can just keep an eye on your stocks. You can keep an eye on the S&P, on the main indicators. And, you know, that gives you like the stock prices. By diversifying and by not looking at your investments all the time, you will avoid like overtrading, maybe trying to buy, you know, what I was trying to do at some point is like the market was going up. I was trying to buy more of a stock. Then the market was going down. I was panicking. I was selling. And that was actually the best way to lose money because that was costing me a lot of money. So now by investing in funds over the longer term, that allows me not to be prone to like, you know, seeing the market fluctuation and impulse trading on some of these stocks. When you look at the performance of an index, you can look versus their benchmark. So if you're investing in something quite passive, the S&P, you know, 500 is going to be the same if you look at different providers. But if you build your own portfolio, you may want to benchmark it against maybe the S&P, maybe the FTSE 100. And if you invest in more active funds, they will always show you what's the benchmark and how you can compare your investment with basically how the market is doing. Even these robo-advisors website have so much information for you to start doing your research, and it's usually well presented and easy to understand. Now, when you invest, it's also important to stay disciplined. And I know this is really hard, but this is a lot of like, you know, breaking news around the market. Are we seeing the next crisis? Now Bitcoin is going up. You may have seen all the meme stops with GameStop. We recorded a few podcast episodes about that. It's really important that you stick to your investment plan and avoid making, you know, emotional decisions. Remember that investing is better when it's boring and when it's for the long term. So it's really about like cutting the noise. When you start investing with these platforms, you may be drawn into looking at your investments every day, see how the market is performing, panicking about it. But it's the best way to, you know, leave it, check it once in a while. But at some stage, I even deleted my investment app from my phone and just really go back every 2 months, every 3 months to catch up on my investments, really take a step back and think about, do I want to change my allocation? Do I want to change the funds? Do I want to pick like a few stocks? Remember that picking stocks is a lot more risky. So if you start picking stocks, that should be a very small part of your asset allocation. You can't do that with robo-advisors, but you can do it with DIY platform. And now monitoring, and again, there's a question from Nadika, but how do you regularly monitor your investments and track your performance? When you invest through a robo-advisor, it's really very easy to track because you will have something like this that shows you how much money did you put in, how much money is your investment portfolio today. And because they invest in a selection of passive funds, you're usually getting the benchmark. You're getting the market performance. Now you can also, you know, adjust your portfolio if you're investing on your own. If you have any changes in your risk tolerance, investment horizon, and financial circumstances, you may need the money now, you may want to take less risk. So you can always change that into your platform, and you can also adjust how much money do you contribute into your portfolio. what the platforms are doing for you, it's to rebalance. You remember we talked about having equities and bonds in your portfolio, and maybe you have 60% equities, 40% bonds, because that corresponds to your risk profile and how you want to invest your money. Equities tend to perform better than bonds. So over time, your portfolio is not going to be a 60-40, but it may be like a 70-30. And what these robo-advisors are doing, they're doing the rebalancing. So they're going to be selling some stocks and buying more bonds in your portfolio to make sure you keep your risk-reward profile and you keep your 60-40% or whatever it is that corresponds to your risk profile. So now if you're seeking more flexibility with your investment, so maybe you want to do more on your pension, maybe you don't want this robo-advisor because you don't want the selection of funds, but you're keen to learn a little bit more, you're keen to do your research about some of the funds, then what's next? So there's other ways to invest. We talked about the robo-advisor. You can also use like a DIY platform. That's a lot more hands-on, and that will, you know, allow you to pick your investments, pick some funds, pick some shares, but of course that will be a lot more on your side. And you can also, of course, work with a financial advisor, and I can send you webinars around that we did in the past, where, you know, how to choose a financial advisor, what are the questions to ask, and stuff like that. When you invest with a DIY platform, again, it's a platform that's online and it enables you to pick your own investments. Some people will stay with a robo-advisor for a very long time and probably forever. And now we see this type of platforms actually merging. But when you use a DIY, imagine that, you know, I've chosen to open like a Stocks and Shares ISA. I've put some money in, but then it's like a blank sheet for me. I really have to decide, what do I want? Do I want the S&P 500? Do I want a FTSE 100? And that will take me a lot more research. Do I want some active funds? Do I want maybe to invest in Apple or just one stock to complement a little bit my portfolio? So that will be a lot more work and research for you, but that will give you a lot more flexibility. And usually that's also a lower cost if you invest slightly higher amount of money, because you will be able to pick your investment yourself. So if we summarize, you know, it's about starting small and early. So being a regular long-term investor, so we're really far from this Wolf of Wall Street. And it's about investing regularly, long-term, diversifying your investments, ignoring the noise and sticking with the plan. And one thing that I tend to say is set it and leave it. That's really important. And I just wanted to finish with this quote by Warren Buffett. And I invite you to read the Warren Buffett books, the letters to investors, where you will learn a lot. I'm sending also a full list of resources in the work list, where you have some books, some podcast episodes, some articles, something to watch back if you want to learn more about investing. I think this was really like, what can we do in 1 hour? But I think a really good tip from Warren Buffett was really thinking about how, as retail investors who don't spend our whole life looking at the stock market and have a life and have a family and have work and like a million things to do, what could we do to simplify our investments and still make money from our investments? And he's saying consistently buy an S&P 500 low-cost index fund. So what does that mean? The S&P 500, remember, Standard & Poor's 500, the 500 biggest companies in the US that have, you know, the Apple, the Amazons of the world. And what, you know, finding a low-cost index fund. A low-cost index fund means it's just a fund, it's just an algorithm that will follow the performance of the S&P. And because the S&P will always have the 500 biggest companies in the US, when some companies are not performing, they drop out of the index and they're being replaced. So you really get these 500 biggest companies. You can have the same thing for something that's quite global, that's multi-asset, something that represents the UK, that represents France, or whatever it is. You can pick that, but it's making sure it's low cost. So you don't pay a manager to actually re-choose these companies and pick investments and stuff like that. It's really passive, it's low cost, and that will help you to maximize your investments. Keep buying it through thick and thin, and especially through thin. And again, that's my concept of, you know, not my concept, but that's the concept of pound cost averaging, where, you know, it's better to invest regularly over a long period of time. Thank you for listening. We have some great events and investing webinars like this one coming up soon. Sign up to our newsletter. There's a link in this episode's description so you don't miss the invites.